Okay, we have a little bit left over from the SIGA that we've been working on for the last couple of weeks. And then if we have a chance, we'll maybe get a little bit of a jump start on the next SIGA. But basically, what we left off with yesterday was everything was revolving around this Gemara Masechet Ksubos Nefsamach, where the Gemara tells us that if a person doesn't feel well, depending on what degree one doesn't feel well, but under certain circumstances, one would be permitted to nurse directly from an animal, even though normally nursing from an animal would be a violation of an Issa Derabbanan of Kelei Achayad. It's not the normal way of a person extracting milk from an animal. Since it's only Kelei Achayad, it's not a Derabbanan. Therefore, they lifted that prohibition in a situation of a Chola. Obviously, we're not dealing with a Chola Sheyesh Bersekana, that even a Derais would be Mutar. We're dealing with a Chola Sheyesh Bersekana. So we walk away from that Gemara with the conclusion that Chazawa Matar something for Chola Sheyesh Bersekana. The question is, what degree, what they matter, and what can we possibly extrapolate from that to cases which are more closer to home in terms of Shabbos today. So we mentioned at the very end of the shiur yesterday that the fact that Chazal lifted certain Isurim, the Rabbanon, B'makom Chola Sheyesh Bersekana, is not surprising. We know that Chazal lifted the prohibition of Amir Yaakov. But the problem is, do we have a right to extrapolate from Amir Yaakov to other Isurim the Rabbanon? Because Amir Yaakov is also a very low-level Isur, because it doesn't involve an action. So we have two examples that Chazal were matir. They were matir Kelei Achayad, presumably. They were matir Amir Yaakov. And the question is, where do we go from here? What can we possibly derive from these two scenarios? So there is a Ramban in the 21st of the Mar Mekomos. In case anyone had a question whether I made a mistake by putting it all to one sugya, the fact they're up to the Mar Mekom number 21, that should probably indicate something. So the Ramban in the 21st of the Mar Mekomos, in Sefer Teres HaAdam, the Ramban wrote an entire Sefer about, literally called Teres HaAdam, the law of a man. The reason why it calls the Torah is Adam, because that's exactly what it is. It takes you, as the phrase goes, from cradle to grave. It takes you literally through a person's life. He talks about what happens when you get sick and dying and availus and alamabba. It takes you more than from beginning to end. It takes you to the next world also. There's everything you ever wanted to know about from the moment you enter into this world until Ad Yom Adin. So comes the Ramban, and the third line of the Ramban, the three little dots, Vachin Peruka de Milsa. So the Ramban says that this is the pshat, this is what the halacha is about what you are permitted to do for a cholish eber sakana. Michu she'adam chayla mimenu. A person doesn't feel well. V'nofa l'mishka v'ein bei sakana. So on the one hand, he's confined to bed, so he meets the criteria of a cholish eber bei sakana. But on the other hand, it's not life-threatening. So number one, they were matir Amir Yaakov. That's for sure. Ferish Gemara. And similarly, they permitted the shvus of doing something kiliachriyad. And he says, and this is what all the Gemara means. That's what Chazal mean when they say dovash ein by sakana omel lagoy veosem. Ferish Gemara. Then the Gemara says, "Va'amulin in chaya kolam." And if you have a woman who gave birth, so for the first 30 days after birth, afilu amatzrichani ein mechalas a Shabbos al osulai de goy b'Shabbos. After a week, so she's no longer considered to be a chalas sheish by sakana, but she's still a chalas she'ein by sakana, and you can be mechal Shabbos a day a goy. And then he gives you other stories. Vezel the amei mekachem a goy. Gemara Maseches Beita, a meimar had a goy provide some kind of a medication for him on Shabbos and Yontif. So there's no question that Amir Yaakov is permissible in a situation of a Chola She'ein B'Sakona. But now we get to our punchline. V'amrina Nami, Mefarek Liachayadu, Uv'makom Tzayra Logozer Rabbanon. And he quotes that Gemara Maseches Ksubos, that any time the Mefarek is done, the Cholif is done in an abnormal fashion, it's permissible. Because it's done, Kiliachayat. Aval, says the Rabban, just because we have Gemaras that permit Amir Yaakov, we have Agamar and Ksubas of Samach that permits Kiliachayat, don't make the following assumption. Aval Shvushiesh Bel Maise, Klomar, Dova Hanasa Aide Yisrael, Hunasa Kedarka Bechol, Loitiru. That a real bona fide the Rabbanon, done by a Jew, and done in a normal fashion. In fact, Chazal never did permit, and they charged to bring rayas. Why that's so? This Ramban is not just a sheet that tucked away in the middle of Sefer Torah Adam. The Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shin Chav Ches paskins like this Ramban. That's how we paskin the halacha, this split, that Amir Yaakov, yes, Kiliach Hayad, yes, other Yisroel and Rabbanon, no. However, what's not clear within the view of the Ramban is what exactly do those words mean that we're matir the Isser of Kiliach Hayad. One can understand that in one of two ways. Either one can understand that we're matir the Isser of Kiliach Hayad on an Isser Derabbanan. That means if the Isser itself is only a Derabbanan, and you do it kliyachayad, then it's a quote unquote a double the rabbanon, since it's twice removed from being a deraisa.
That's what he says.
Oh, well, we'll see in a second.
Shvus is only a derabbanon.
The word shvus means a derabbanon. Yeah. So if it's a kliyachayad, and even if you would do it in a normal manner, it would only be a derabbanon. It's what we call a shvus to shvus. So a kliyachayad on a derabbanon, that chazal lifted b'machum chayla. But what about a kliyachayad on a deraisa? What if you want to write kliyachayad? What if you want to light a fire kliyachayad? You want to turn on a light with deraisa, you know, a regular deraisa. So who says that's mutter? Vishtei, where does it say in the Ramana that's mutter? Maybe that's all it said. Maybe only a derabbanon kliyachayad is mutter. Or maybe one could argue, maybe one could argue that kliyachayad is an unbelievable kula. Kliyachayad is so kal, so lenient, that we even mutter deraisas provided that they're done kliyachayad. What makes Kaliyachiyat so lenient? I understand that Miriam Yaakov is very lenient because it doesn't involve an action. But why is Kaliyachiyat so lenient? Turn on the light with the back of my hand, right with my left hand. Why is that so lenient? So one could argue it's not so much that it's lenient, but it suffices to create a halachic heker. It draws attention to the fact that, hey, it's Shabbos. Why am I turning on the light with my nose? Why am I writing with my left hand? Why am I carrying something on top of my head? So for the mere fact that I'm doing it in an abnormal fashion, that itself can serve as a certain degree of a safeguard and won't lead to more serious violations of Shabbos. So it's possible that Kliyachayad has something going for it, has a certain leniency going for it, not similar to the leniency of Emir Yaakov, which is objectively a less serious prohibition because it doesn't involve an action. But Kliyachayad has that built-in safeguard to it because I have to think 100 times to figure out how to do it Kliyachayad. That itself will prevent me from further Chilul Shabbos. So it's unclear what the halacha should be. What do we think the halacha should be? We had a guess on this one. We had a determine on our own how far are we willing to go with the kula of Kliyachayad. So the answer most probably is, well, the whole source of the kula of Kliyachayad is the Gemara in Ksubis, but Mefarik Kliyachayad. It all goes back to Cholev. It all goes back to that Sugin Ksubis. So the real question we now have to go back is what we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks. Well, is Cholev a Diaraisa or is Cholev a Dirabanan? If Cholev is a Diaraisa and the Gemara is still permitting Mefarik Kliyachayad, the Gemara is committing and telling us that even a Diaraisa Kliyachayad is permissible. But if Cholev is only Dirabanan, why should it only be Dirabanan? Well, we know, Dirabanan, others. Ain't disha al b'gdula karka, animals are not gdula karka, unique gdula karka, and cholev doesn't meet the mark. So the whole prohibition of cholev altogether is only midirabanan. So then we only have precedent in the Gemara for permitting a dirabanan kliyachayat. We have no Gemara that says a diraisa kliyachayat is mutter. So our shaila now, we're sitting around in our house and trying to figure out, can I turn on the light kliyachayat for the cholev? Can I write kliyachayat for the cholev? Can I do malachas deraisa kliyachayat for the cholev? The real answer to that question is, well, what is cholev? Is cholev deraisa, is cholev derabanan? Because the model of the heft of kliyachayat emanates from the sugya of cholev. So if cholev is deraisa, then we have an outright precedent in the Gemara. Even deraisa is kliyachayat a mutter for cholev shem b'sukkah. That's ksubas nafsamach. If you hold that, cholev, then you can rise from cholev, because cholev is on a derabanan anyway, so then we only have a right to assume that chazal will matter a derabanan a yedei kliyachayat, shvus to shvus. We have no precedent to be matter deraisa on kliyachayat. This question becomes a very serious shal. I can't say every Shabbos, but I would say many, many, many Shabbos during the year. This Shabbos comes up. If a person's in the hospital, even things that Chodesh Eber Sekon, a person's home, wants to do things, what's the dim? So we have to go back, L'chor, to the Ramban, because the Ramban was really the source of the Sekula. What did the Ramban say? So let's look really, really carefully at the Lashon of the Ramban. It's back to the sixth line of the fifth line of the Ramban.
The Ramban is unlikely to be so helpful to us because he
heals Cholim's Derabonim.
Right.
Oh, very good. Excellent.
We need to see what
Tosfos says. Okay. Problem is the Rashi doesn't talk about the topic. That's the problem. So the Ramban has this cryptic line, V'cheini tiru b'shvus d'malocha hanaseis b'shinui. The Ramban uses the word malocha in there. Shvus d'malocha hanaseis b'shinui. Now, I think Steve is correct that the Ramban, we wouldn't expect to be too helpful here, because the Ramban himself happens to be siding with the view that Cholam is only the Rabbanan. So I don't know if I want to make too much out of these words of this particular word, the Ramban, although the mashmos of the Ramban is that it sounds like even Malacha would be okay, as long as it's a kiliyach yad, hanaseh, it's a shvus, because it's a naseh b'shinui. But he does use the magic word malacha, which has the connotation that this is the rice involved. So how do we paskin the halacha in the shayla? So we take a look. If you take a look at the last page in the Mamakomos, it's a quote from the Sefer Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa, where he's summing up pretty much everything that we said. It's in Oz Beis. It's right where the little Oz Tezayin is. Outside little Oz Tezvav, I'm sorry. No, it's Tezayin. with these glasses and the letters and the print, it's hard to tell. It's a Tezayin. First one on the line is Kol. V'asa lo lasas b'locha d'arayis afilu b'shinoi. So it starts out, he's talking about a cholo she'ein by sakona. One is not permitted to do a deraisa, even kiliyach. Who is he quoting? He's quoting the Shulchan Aruch, who claims to be quoting the Ramban. The Shulchan Aruch is quoting what he thinks was the Shittas Ramban, but we have to be a little bit of a disclosure. The Shulchan Aruch probably did not have the Torah's Adam itself. The Shulchan Aruch is quoting from the Tur, was quoting from the Torah's Adam, so it's already going through a few stages. The Shulchan Aruch is assuming that the Ramban meant only a derabbanon kiliyach yad is mutar, but a deraisa kiliyach yad is still a problem. V'yamnam, says the Shmir Shabbos in the parentheses, yesh b'gedolei ha'poskim, there are some gedolei ha'poskim, ha'matirim li'yehudi lasa tzachir fu'asa shechol ha'shem b'sakona, who permit to do things necessary for the health of the chol ha'shem b'sakona, gam im asiyosam kshuru b'malocha deraisa, even if it involves a deraisa, v'ushiyaseh shloka dechas yosem b'chol. If it's done in a way that's kiliyach yad. So basically, in this one paragraph in the Shmir Shabbos, you have everything we've been talking about. You have the machlokes, the Shulchan Aruch's presentation of the Ramban. Then you have the Yesh Migdoli HaPoskim, who disagree, quoting the Ramban's cool in a little bit of a different manner. Who are the Gedoli HaPoskim? So if you take a look at the bottom, in a little Os Yud Ches, in the footnote, Shulchan Aruch HaRav, Egle Tal, quotes a series of poskim, and then he quotes three lines towards the end of the third line. V'shemati me'akonu Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, the Shmir Shabbos quoted from his Rebbe from Rav Shlomo Zalman. T'mikevan d'chol elu ha'gdolam atirim, so he just quoted a bunch of Acharonim on Mekil. M'stabed yecholim v'adhi l'hokil am e'ef sh'aydei nochri. Says, if you can't find a goy to do it, so m'meila, one has a right to be Mekil like these are g'doli ha'poskim. So this is generally the way, at least this is the way I tell people to do. That whenever I have a situation with cholish emes, I can't have it all the time. They say I have a person in the hospital. So very often things in the hospital are sakana. But very often not. Very often a person in the hospital, a woman had a baby yesterday. It's not going to make a break in terms of sakana, whether she adjusts the bed properly or not. Not going to make a break whether they get something to drink or something, depending on the situation. The question is, what can you do in order to facilitate certain isurim on Shabbos in situations of Eimem Sakana? First, it's a chayla, but they're not quite, everything is necessarily Mokhom Sakana. So whatever can be done ayde goy, could be done ayde goy. That's het the gomer, mil yakam, is mutter for chal shebi sakana. But what if there's no goy around? The goy is not coming. The nurse isn't coming. They want to adjust the bed themselves. So I tell them that the ikra din, I think they're allowed to adjust the bed. Even they do a kiliyach yad. Why? First of all, adjusting the bed is probably not their bond anyway. It's electricity without lights. Whole shtickle Torah for another reason. So it could be that any of those kinds of things are only their bond anyway. So to do a kiliyach yad under their bond, and for sure the Shulchan Aruch is mahta based on the Ramban. And even if it would involve a deraisa, sometimes it does. So I think that maker then one could also be maker. So if you're really stuck and you can't find the guy, so I think that maker then you can be mahta anything kiliyach yad. Even Ayadei Yisrael. Sometimes you have situations where it's the middle of the night, if certain things have to be taken care of in the house for a cholish, ain't by sakana, you're going to go wake up the gracious neighbor at 2 o'clock in the morning. So whatever has to be done can be done with the elbow, can be done kiliyach yad. So I give you a little bit of a disclaimer that I was once speaking to an Adam Govel after she has over whatever it was. I talked to a chashiv of Paisek. And in the middle of discussing a certain shiloh with him, so I was just kind of assuming like this Shulchan Aruch Harav, exactly like Talak, Shul Zalman, that Mikra did, you know, we could be Mekel. So in the way I formulated the Shaila was, you know, it's only Kelech Yad, it's Ayyadei Yisrael, but we can rely on the Mekilim, the version of the Rabban. So he stopped me right smack in the middle of my formulation. He says, since when are we Mekel? That a Diraisa can be done Kelech Yad, if it's only Choloshem Be'Sakona. So I said, the Shulchan Aruch Harav, exactly like Talak, I said, the Rabban, he says, but Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote the Ramban that way. He said, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't quote the Ramban that way. He said, they will quote the Ramban as meaning that only a Derabbanan Kaliach Hayad can be done for Chol Shem B'Sukkana. So, you know, in the back of my mind, but wait a second, but we Paskin Chol is Deraisa. Most Rishonim Paskin Chol is Deraisa, which forces us to conclude that even a Deraisa. So, you know, I take a balloon and pop it. You know, the rest of it, I kind of lit in lame on the rest of the Shaila because my whole premise that I've been working with for 20 years was just to throw it into question. So, the first thing I did when I finished the conversation was I ran home and I took a look at the Shemir Shabbos Gilchasa, and I just wanted to make sure I had thought that he quotes in the bottom that Shlomo Zalman used to be knowing that way. Baruch Hashem, I was right. This footnote that he quotes from Shlomo Zalman was making that way. So, at least that. Yeah, the place is entitled to his opinion, but at least I didn't feel so balloon air taken out of me. So again, yesh v'yesh, it all boils down to how to read this Ramban. It all boils down ultimately, l'fi'ani is night to whether chol is deraisa or not. We who, at least most of the Rishonim, Rashi, Tais, the Ram, hold the chol is deraisa, will be forced in a sense, pushed into this position to be makel even their Isis Kalech Yad. But it's interesting, as you point out correctly, the Ramban, who's the source for the Skula, who sounds like he's saying even by their Isis, happens to be the one who is least necessary to fall into the Skula, because he's the one who happens to be the Rishon who holds out and says that Chol is only the Ramban.
If you take the Machlokes position, would it help if you remove it another level? In other words, let's assume it's a Deraisa. What if we do it? What if it's a grumma that's called achrayah?
Oh, so that would be much better because a grumma itself is only a derabbanan. So if you, and the truth is that a grumma even is mutter for makom chayla. Normally a grumma we pass is also a derabbanan, but a grumma even directly, even in a normal manner, a grumma is mutter. Assuming that you're doing a derech grumma, assuming you meet the criteria of grumma. Okay, so again, so a lot of interesting shahs, the mice emanate from this cholev sugya. So basically, to sum up, it's almost a month. We can see him on cholev, but basically to sum up, the issue of cholev is the fact that you're not allowed to milk cows on Shabbos. That's a given. Whether it's absolutely deraisa, that's a machlekes Rishonim in the end of the day. Even if it's a deraisa, which malach exactly does it fall under? So we had a lot of different possibilities. And how this plays out in terms of Cholav B'Shabbos and Cholav B'Yomtiv and Elosach Oakland and Cholav Ibud and all the possible kulas in terms of the cows and the women nursing and how this ultimately plays out in terms of Cholim. A lot of stuff emanated from the Sugya of Cholim. So we'll try to make a little bit of a start in the next Sugya. It was that Rabbi Komos
War. The Rabbi goes back to the first as far as to...
I didn't think it would have been Mechubad to present him that, by the way, there's a footnote from Shabbos that Mishlomo Zalman, I'm not sure that he would have.
What was his problem? I'm apologizing.
Because he was following the Shulchan Aruch. He was following the Shulchan Aruch in the Mishnah Berurah. He was conventional wisdom. I was the revolutionary. In Shulchan Aruch, it says Beferish, and Mishnah Berurah says Beferish, that only the Rabbanans, Kaliach Hayad, are mutter. To say deraisa, you have to go back to the Torah of Adam, and you have to reread the Torah of Adam, and you have to go back to the Raya from Chaylev. You have to do the homework in order to the pashtus. Conventional wisdom is like this.
Why is the Shulchan Aruch paskin like the Ramban necessarily that against the other Rishonim? Because
the Shulchan Aruch is the Raisa. Well, Shulchan Aruch is not saying this whole. He doesn't write this whole Shulchan Torah. This whole. He's quoting what he thinks the Torah of Adam is. He's quoting the Torah from the Torah of Adam. But the problem is that in the Torah of Adam itself, it says there, right? It says Kimat Beferish Malach is there, right? So. And the Shulchan Aruch is quoting what the Torah presents it as only derabbanan, which is a pella. According to what we're saying, if cholov is really deraisa, unless you want to say that we pass in cholov is a sfeika dedina, we don't know whether cholov is deraisa and derabbanan. So we're going to be machmir uchas cholov, but we're going to turn around and be machmir uchas cholov also, because maybe we treat it as a sfeika dedina. Therefore, there's no extrapolation from the sugya to be machmir deraisa. Maybe that's what the Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah.
I don't know how careful you have to be with the lashon, but the letter dalad would make it in the Ramban. Because had the Ramban wanted to say that it's a Shavus, and he would have said, Echein Hitur B'Shavus, Ve'Melach HaNaseis B'Shinui. It sounds like the duh is defining what he means. Echein Hitur B'Shavus, you know what a Shavus is?
Shavus is the Melach HaNaseis B'Shinui.
So that would sound like it's a Doraisa.
I think you're right. I think the simple reading of the Ramban is that way. I think so. Okay. So we're going to begin now the next part of Dash, and that's the issue of Schitas Peiros, so of squeezing fruit. And this is also going to take us a long way.
Nice.
But That was tonight. Yeah, that was tonight.
I sent both one after the other tonight, and she said today she'll do.
Yeah, she just did nothing. She did tonight's today. Okay, whatever.
It was my
fault. Doesn't matter. So it's a Yachav and Esav. Whatever goes in first comes out first. That's it now. Don't worry. There's not that much time left for today's shiur, so we'll just give a little bit of a brief hakdama. So this sugya of Schitas Peiros is a very, very long sugya. Also, this I, in fact, did break up the two different parts. We're going to start with the first half of Schitas Peiros. So one thing is crystal clear from the Gemara, that squeezing out fruit can potentially be a deraisa. I use that word with great care, potentially. Sometimes squeezing fruit on Shabbos is an absolute issa deraisa. Which issa deraisa is it? That seems pretty clear. It is an issa deraisa of dosh, because you're similar to dosh, just as in dish and threshing, you're applying pressure, thereby extracting the part that you want from the casing, from the outside. So too, when you take your grape, your olive, and you squeeze it, you're exerting pressure, and you're extracting the juice from the whatever's left on the outside. That's an outright malacha deraisa of disha. Disha is... we're more comfortable with applying disha to squeezing a fruit than we were to milking cows, because the whole problem of milking cows was the issue that l'charetz nakidul karka, depending on how you solve that dilemma, which is, of course, what ultimately led the Ramban, that cholov is not deraisa. Of course, that objection breaks down when you're in the realm of squeezing fruit. So l'chola day is grapes and olives or other fruits grow on the ground. So therefore, we don't have any issues of gedulah karka. The question is, do we really have a bona fide malacha deraisa schita on our hands, of disha, on our hands, every time we go ahead and squeeze fruit? So here the Gemara quotes a braisa. It's going to be the source really of our entire, most of our discussion, the first sugya. The braisa is the very end of Masechet Shabbos, where the Gemara starts, the braisa starts to delineate differences between different kinds of fruits. So comes the braisa with the following, comparing and contrasting. Says the braisa, sochdin ben... Be'uzradin, Be'prishin of Be'uzradin, it lists off a whole series of fruits where you're allowed to squeeze. Sochin Be'uzradin, Be'prishin, Be'uzradin, different fruits that Chazal list off, that one is permitted to squeeze. Avalo B'rimoinim, the Braisa says, but what you're not allowed to do is, you're not allowed to squeeze pomegranates. That's the Braisa. And then, just in case you're not sure what in the world the difference is between these Uzradin and Prishin, or why those are mutter and the pomegranates are asur, then the Braisa continues to say, and by the way, if you want to know a little bit about squeezing pomegranates, there were a few people used to actually squeeze pomegranates on Shabbos during the week. The base Menashe, there was a group of pomegranate farmers, they used to squeeze pomegranates during the week, and therefore you're not allowed to squeeze pomegranates on Shabbos. Ad kan divrei Gemara. That's just retire. So the Gemara says that certain fruits are mutter. Mutter means not just potter, it means mutter lechatchila. Sochdim b'prishin v'uzradim. Whereas pomegranates are off limits. And the reason the Gemara seems to say they're off limits is because they're fairly common to squeeze. The implication is obvious that the reason why the prishin and the uzradim are mutter is because they're not fairly common to squeeze. So if you just read the Braisa Kipshuto without going delving into the Gemara's analysis of the Braisa, it sounds like the distinction is very clear. Whenever you have a fruit that nobody squeezes, chamashugan, who would squeeze a prishin and uzradim? So then it's mutter. Whereas pomegranates, are pomegranates normal to squeeze or not? I'm not really sure. Most people probably don't squeeze pomegranates, but every once in a while somebody does. The base Menashe, Menachem, whatever it was, they used to actually squeeze the pomegranates. Oh, that's enough to cause problems for everybody. And therefore, the mice, you can't squeeze the pomegranates. So the simple reason the Gemara is, the only fact that it's really important in terms of, is it also to squeeze or mutter to squeeze, is it kederach to squeeze, or is it not kederach to squeeze? Just, interestingly enough, what are these prishin uzudin? What exactly are they? Do you have any ideas? So Rashi gives you an old French word. Every once in a while, the old French word is helpful. Very often, it's not helpful. Because usually, the old French word, unless you're really up to date with your 11th century French, is not going to help you. There's a mitargim in the back of the Gemara that gives you the old German word from the 1600s. So in case your German is... you're more up to date with your 1600 Germany than your 10th century France. And if you're lucky, every once in a while, the Metagim will give you a Yiddish word also. So depending on, as we get closer to languages that we're familiar with, every once in a while we get, there's a famous Taisin Brachas in the 6th parak. Taisin gives you some old French word about something. And we have no idea what it means. And if you look in the Targum, then you see two words he gives you. He says, noodle, nun vav dal ayin lamed. So that's it. It's closer to home. And he says, and in case you don't know what a noodle is, he says, mashakor lakshin. So that, if you don't know what a lakshin is, a noodle is, then you're in trouble. So every once in a while you get words that we're familiar with. So here we look out. Rashi gives us a word in old French that we know exactly what it is. Pei resh vav nun zayin. Prunes. That's what he says. He says prunes. Rashi says, a prune? A meshugana? Who would ever squeeze a prune? You eat prunes, you don't squeeze prunes. Obviously, Rashi didn't see the multi-billion-dollar prune juice industry. So Rashi is describing fruit that in the days of Chazal, at least, now the halacha may change radically with Marazeh about squeezing prunes, but Rashi gives you an example. What meshugana would ever squeeze a prune? And therefore, if a guy gets a zayetzar to squeeze a prune on Shabbos, it's butl chatchila, because it's so shaloka derech eschita. So Akoponim, the Gemara has this contrast between the rimonim on the one hand, that's alser, and the prunes, so those within the priest, whatever they are, on the other hand, that's butl. But again, the criteria seems to be the issue of, is it kederech or not kederech? The problem is the Gemara then continues, and the Gemara says, really, rimonim is kederech? It's normal to squeeze pomegranates. Says the Gemara, who squeezes pomegranates? One guy, there's one pomegranate farmer, and all over it's all the base Menashev and Menachem. There's one guy, he's the one who's squeezing pomegranates. I have to worry about him. He's the majority in the world. If you can tell me that 75% of people squeeze pomegranates, I understand that. You can tell me one out of 10,000 people squeezes a pomegranate, that becomes my problem on Shabbos. How can that be? It doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara is back to square one. So l'chora, the rimonim should halachically be the same as the prishim, as the prunes, and those are din. Because just as that's not normal, the rimonim is also not normal. So comes the Gemara and says, no. Let me explain to you why you're not allowed to squeeze rimonim. Says the Gemara, a whole different approach. Says the Gemara, you know why you're not allowed to squeeze rimonim? Because from the fact that you're squeezing the rimonim, you're squeezing the pomegranates, that shows that you really like pomegranate juice. And that's what we call in halacha, you're machshiv, achshiveh. You're machshiv the pomegranate juice as a real beverage. And since you personally are squeezing it, you are treating it as a beverage, that's the reason why it's asur. The reason why it's asur from the Gemara seems to be nothing to do with normal anymore. The Gemara seems to be backing out from the normal criteria. The Gemara has a whole new criteria. Since you are doing it, you are showing that it's hereby important to you, therefore, it becomes asur to squeeze. Which, of course, pushes the question back, obviously. So, wait a second. Now we're guilty of overkill. Kohl's, you were telling me it's if the factor is normalcy, so that I understand. Pomegranates are normal, prunes are not normal, Shalma Yisrael. But once you're telling me that the real reason why you can't squeeze pomegranates is because you are machshav as a mashkeh, so I push the question back a step and say, so then why are you allowed to squeeze prunes? A machshav as a mashkeh. So the same exact isser of squeezing pomegranates should now apply to squeezing prunes. So what in the world did you gain? What's going on? So that's the multi-million-dollar question. How do you answer that question? Once the Gemara seems to veer out of the realm of normalcy into the realm of who hichshiv, samashkim, how do you now explain why the pomegranates are in fact asur, yet the prunes are mutter? So the answer to that question, there are three way machlokes, and we'll hopefully mitzvah on Friday try to develop that. That's going to really set into motion the basic format in terms of the sugya, when what things you're allowed to squeeze on Shabbos, what things you're not allowed to squeeze.